Welcome to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. This is the Reheat, a weekly look at the latest in Texas football and a little opportunity to poke fun at rivals. But make sure you do like this video and subscribe to the channel. We got it coming every day here in the offseason. Had IT Live earlier today. Hit the baseball team, sweeping the top five Georgia Bulldogs, and we'll keep it coming all this week as the Longhorns hit the practice field on Tuesday. To stay up to date with all the latest, head to InsideTexas.com. You can sign up for just $1. That gets you 4 months of access. At this point, that's going to get you all the way through about the first week of training camp. So nothing you will want to miss with recruiting, with basketball portal, with baseball, with everything, the NFL draft, everything going on. Now's a great time to sign up for Inside Texas. And one of the perks you have when you sign up for Inside Texas is you get to read some of the great things that RT gets to write on a weekly basis. The most recent thing that you wrote over on InsideTexas.com, we will have a link to it in the description, is his story on David Benda. Be undeniable, his journey through the NFL, or his journey to the NFL through four plays as a Longhorn. RT, you got to sit down and talk with Benda after his sixth and final season in the burnt orange. He's trying to earn his way into a selection or a spot on an NFL team. But there's obviously, as we'd like to talk about, when you look at some of these, any football player, there's a lot more than just the helmet and shoulder pads that you see. And I think you captured that extremely well while also hinting and keying in on some of the big plays Benda made throughout his career as a Longhorn.
Yeah, I kind of framed this story around these four plays that I remembered him making. The most notable one probably being his sack of Jalen Milroe in the 2023 game at Alabama. That's the play that I think people are going to remember about David years from now. It was so notable because he got chipped at the line by Jace McClellan and went down to the ground. And Jalen Milroe, another Katy native like David Benda, thought he was safe for a second, but David Benda showed off his just really almost one-of-a-kind closing speed and sacked Jalen Milroe for a drive-killing sack before halftime that allowed Texas to go into halftime with a big lead in Tuscaloosa. And it was one of those moments where I think Longhorn fans like myself, who were watching on TV or in the stadium, were like, oh my gosh, we actually could win this game. And I think that that was a moment in the Longhorns program and David's career where he was like, I'm done with almost. I'm done with these near misses. I'm going to finish a play. We're going to finish this game. And that was sort of the mindset that carried the Longhorns the rest of that game and really the rest of the last two seasons, because you know, you had Sark talking about after the game that fanatical effort showed by David Benda in that sack of Jalen Milroe is a prerequisite if you want to play defense at Texas. But obviously it's a prerequisite for the whole team, and because you saw it later in that 2023 season inspire plays or lead to some plays like the goal line stand against Kansas State, or Jordan Whittington and Xavier Worthy's amazing team up on the forced fumble against TCU. So we've really seen those types of plays define the Longhorns the last 2 years. And I think David being one of the leaders of the team was really somebody who set that standard.
And I really like the way you handled the story. And I think you also brought up a lot about his background. And for anybody who may not know, class of 2019, I remember going to Katy Cinco Ranch to see him get his All-America jersey. And that was pretty special. And that was about all the way back, I think, in 2018. So he's with Todd Orlando for his first season in 2019. Things don't go well. Orlando gets fired. Chris Ash is brought in, COVID happens, and everything that happened on the University of Texas and on the University of Texas campus specifically, and then also on every campus happens in 2020. He's learning a new defense over Zoom. He's learning how to deal with, you know, everything going on in his life. And there was one of the four plays that you highlighted was one made that season as part of his journey. And there was the introduction of a recurring character, I guess to say, and when looking at this play from Texas' big win over Kansas State in 2020.
Yeah, so obviously I talked about some of the challenges that David faced in his first couple years in Austin. Weren't totally unique to him, but, you know, saw multiple coordinators, two head coaches, like you mentioned, Joe, off-season conducted via Zoom as far as strength training and playbook learning goes, everything that happened in 2020. But really, before we get to that play, one thing I wanted to make sure of is, you know, explain who David was and why he maybe didn't leave when playing time was hard to come by and when he's having these challenges and maybe the college experience on the Longhorns isn't quite what you thought it would be with the turbulent first couple years. And it really comes from David's family, and it comes from the fact that they, from a young age, instilled in him insane work ethic, deep sense of gratitude and thankfulness. Obviously, his parents, Tamba and June, are immigrants from Sierra Leone in Northwest Africa, immigrated in 1996, a couple years before David was born. Man, they went to college in Houston. They got their master's in Houston for a while. They slept in an apartment with no furniture. You know, they were really trying to make it in America, and they were determined to. And then they went on to do amazing things. His mom got her nursing degree. His dad teaches organic chemistry. You know, so they are an extremely impressive family. His dad obviously had an athletic background in Sierra Leone, playing volleyball, playing soccer, playing several sports. So it really was never an option for David to jump ship or to feel sorry for himself when maybe things were hard or when he was not playing maybe as much as he wanted to in those 2020, 2021, 22 seasons. And then you see at this kind of brief moment of respite at the beginning or at the end of the 2020 COVID season, Tom Herman finally plays Bijan Robinson, as we remember, and they go to Manhattan, Kansas, and they just lay the absolute wood on Deuce Vaughn and Will Howard and the Kansas State Wildcats. And at the end of the game, David has his first career interception on Will Howard, who, like you said, will become a recurring character in David's career on the Longhorns and in this story. And it was just this moment of, I think, reassurance of like, hey, I'm doing this for a reason, and like good things are going to happen here. So I remembered that. The reason I remembered him making that interception is because he jumped onto the bench doing a wild celebration after he got that pick. And I remembered doing the same thing in high school after I made one of the only good plays I've ever made in my athletic career. But I'm not an athlete like David. So when I was moving too fast, you know, I jumped those cleats on the metal and I slipped and my legs went through the bench. So yeah, I told David, hey, I was impressed. You jumped onto the bench and you didn't slide. You just, you know, stayed firmly right onto the bench. And he was like, well, I slowed down a little bit because I was worried about doing that. So, you know, just another sign that, David is not like a normal human. He even had that thought in that big emotional moment. So, yeah, I wanted to be sure to include that first career interception of Will Howard.
And then when you look at how David's career progressed, there was a few more, you know, more turbulence, I guess to say. Sarkisian comes in. Pete Kwiatkowski comes in. 5-7 still happens. There are players like DeMarvian Overshone and I think even Luke Brockermeyer, who play ahead of David. And then, as you mentioned, that 2023 season happens where he gets his opportunity playing by Jalen Ford, someone who super valuable in the linebacker room, an NFL player himself, an All-American. And, you know, he gets his opportunities, cedes some to Anthony Hill, but still becomes an important player for the Longhorns, shows off that athleticism, shows off that sideline to sideline, and that ability to just close quickly that he has very well. Anthony Hill and Leongo LaFalle entering the 2024 season kind of supplanted him as that first string on the first string when it comes to linebacker. But that doesn't mean he lost playing time. Doesn't mean it doesn't mean that he was just tossed aside. He still had a lot of playing time. Texas rotates its linebackers. They like using him on special teams. But even so, he was on the field for a lot of the very, very key moments for Texas' end of season run, including one in a game that really it was part of a greater stand that kept the Longhorn season alive.
Yeah, that was my most memorable moment from David this past season. On third down, he had a huge goal line stand against Sam Levitt of Arizona State. And it was really before – it was almost the attempt at a comeback before the comeback that Arizona State had. On fourth down, obviously Andrew Makuba, Alfred Collins, a bunch of people were in on a gang tackle. In the play after that, Arizona State got obviously the safety, but still Texas would go up, you know, by double. Texas was still up by double digits. They would go up by double digits again. And David's hulking solo third down stop of Sam Levitt, one really, you know, plugged a hole in the dam, I think, before the comeback started and really set the tone for the fact that Texas was never going to break. Texas might have looked shaky on that day. David also, you know, he'll mention in an upcoming third and Longhorn episode that he's on that his stomach was giving him all kinds of trouble in that Arizona State game at the Peach Bowl. So the plays he made in that game were almost just as much out of a feeling of I've got to get out of here. I'm ready for this game to be over with because I don't feel good. So the fact that he was able to do that is super impressive. But I think also that stop of Sam Levitt really showed David, you know, after 6 years in the Texas Longhorn program with multiple coaches, this is him at his final form and really who he's going to be in the NFL. He's going to be somebody who is able to make solo open field tackles at big times. He's going to use his strength because, you know, like Torrey Becton said, he and Jake Majors were the strongest guys on the team. That is what he's going to look like in the NFL when his number is called.
The last play that you talk about, and again, we've touched on a few of the different details. I think, like you mentioned, the background of his family's story and, you know, what he's kind of done during the period where he was biding his time, I guess to say. You lay out in great detail. But the last play against Will Howard again, versus Ohio State in the semifinals, just another instance and in kind of a full circle moment for Benda in the biggest game of the Texas 2024 season.
Yeah, obviously that was a huge moment because Texas had, I can't even remember. I could probably spout off this stat when it was closer to the season, but we were horrible in the third quarters this past year. So David being able to start the second half with a huge interception, and Texas ended up obviously going on to win the third quarter. Obviously didn't win the game, but that was a huge play made by a veteran who didn't back down in the face of adversity. And you can see after the play, his celebration and how much his teammates loved him. They were obviously so happy for David. You could really see that at the pro day that you and I got to attend, Joe, where, you know, he's getting called Big Swole and his everything that he and some of the other guys who maybe didn't receive that combine invitation by the number of teams that you really need to be able to be invited to Indianapolis. They were all so happy for David and his teammates. And yeah, he was just obviously a beloved member of the team, beloved member of the linebacker room. And for him to make a huge play in a college football semifinal, obviously won't be one that was chalked up to a win at the end of the day. But that wasn't without fanatical lack of effort, like Sark said, was required.
We'll keep going on Benda in just a second. Before we do, some word from our sponsor, that is David McClellan.
I'm just going to say, guys, you probably need a fiduciary financial advisor. And I've got the guy for you. His name is David McClellan with Forum Financial. He works broadly and deeply with his clients as a financial life coach. And he should know something about coaching because he won several national championships as a swimmer for the University of Texas. He specializes in financial planning and has contributed numerous articles to Kipling on the topic of retirement tax bombs. So contact David today to be your fiduciary financial planner and schedule a one-hour consultation to assess your financial situations. The free consultation is available, so just give him a call. The number is 312-933-8823. That's 312-933-8823. His email is also in the description below.
David McClellan probably still basking in the glory of a 16th national title, but we'll keep going with Benda. Obviously, Texas season ends in that Cotton Bowl against Ohio State. He doesn't have a seventh year of eligibility. His time on the 40 acres is over. And so now he's entering the pre-draft process. Like you mentioned, he's got invited by, I think you said, seven teams to the combine, and you need about 11 or 12. So didn't reach the threshold. But what has he been going on and doing since the season ended, aside from the pro day? Who's he working with, and what are some of the things that people you've talked to say about David and his pro potential?
Yeah, I think that one thing that maybe the average fan and even myself really sees a lot more when they, you know, go in depth on this process with somebody is when the season ends, you really, what you're training for when you're trying to get drafted or have a shot at the NFL, you're training for a pro day or you're training for a combine. So you're training for very specific things like your multiple phases of the 40-yard dash or your shuttle or cone drill or your vertical jump. And so obviously those things, you know, can benefit you in the football, on the football field, but they're not necessarily football related. So David literally left Arlington, went back to Austin, packed up some of his stuff, went to Frisco to the big performance training center that they have up there and started training for pro day and started training for all the elements of things that he was going to be tested on. But I think, you know, even though he performed really well at pro day, I think he was excited to get that part of the pre-draft process over with, because then after his measurables get on tape, then it's just, let's go back to football and let's watch film and let's figure out how to shed blocks and navigate in the open field. And maybe if your height and your size will be something that teams use against you, how do you play bigger than you are? Obviously his amazing speed and his strength are things that are huge, huge benefits. But he's been training with obviously Texas linebacker legend Derek Johnson here in Austin, and they've been working almost every day together going into the draft. So the thing that I love that Derek says about David Benda is he says that the thing that I love about David is that he's hungry. He doesn't just want something to eat. He's hungry. And so I think, you know, Derek obviously played in the NFL for 14 years, played with a ton of great players. He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler. He knows what commitment looks like. He knows what commitment to the process and great players look like. And he can't say enough good things about David. So obviously I'm gonna trust one of the best linebackers to do it in the NFL in recent memory says about him over, you know, Twitter draft analysts or scouts.
I guess last thing to go over, was there anything that kind of was left on the cutting room floor that didn't make in the story that you think is worth mention or kind of a good tale?
LT, who gave me some crap about how long it was, probably would say that that what we released was the director's cut, so that nothing got left on the cutting room floor. But I mean, obviously his family's journey really is just so inspiring and so, you know, so incredible, but I wanted to make it a football story. But, you know, I think there was, you probably could have spent a lot more time on, you know, their path and, you know, their process for sure.
It was a fantastic read. We posted it on Sunday morning. It's still over on InsideTexas.com, and it will be in the description to this video. So awesome job, RT. One of the best things I've read on Inside Texas in a while. I always think that we have a very unique place in not just covering the Longhorns, but kind of in covering football. And that, yeah, there are some first round guys. Yeah, there are, you know, guys who are assured to get picked maybe early on day three. But there's an opportunity for us in the media to talk about the guys like David Benda, who, you know, maybe a team is on the fence. And I know all these teams do a ton of research on guys that they're investing sometimes tens of millions of dollars, sometimes, you know, hundreds of thousand dollars in as part of their team. And I think we're in a unique position to where we can provide and tell the tale at the same time, but provide a little bit of a publicity boost for them, a deserved one even, I think. And I think that's a great aspect of what we do at Inside Texas. And I thought you did that extremely well. So well done. Definitely make sure you go read that on Inside Texas. Speaking of the NFL draft, I know a lot of mock drafts are coming out, but there is one way to really tell if a prospect has a high chance of getting selected in the first round, and that's if they invite you to attend the draft in person. Last year, Xavier Worthy watched the draft at his house, but I believe the year prior, not just Bijan Robinson, but I think Byron Murphy as well, if I remember correctly, got to walk across the stage and shake Roger Goodell's hand. The draft is in Green Bay this upcoming, later this month, actually, and our team, Matthew Golden, is going to be there. I think that says a lot about his prospects and also gives a chance for some good pictures to be taken to support the Longhorn football program.
Yeah, obviously the last 3 years with Bijan and then Byron Murphy and Xavier Worthy last year and this year, essentially three locks with Golden, Jahdae Barron, and Kelvin Banks getting picked in the first round. Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns have put to bed the Longhorns don't get drafted and don't get drafted high narrative that was out there for a while. Texas obviously has the chance to break the record of most players drafted this year. Obviously, guys like we just talked about, David Benda, will play a big role in that if they end up getting their number called late. But yeah, very excited for Golden. You know, I know Todd McShay, who's kind of always been one of my number one go-tos as far as the draft goes. He has Golden by far as his number one receiver on the board. Just thinks that he translates a little bit better to the NFL than somebody like Teteroa McMillan, who maybe doesn't have the production that Golden has. Is more of like the theoretical guy, like, you know, who looks great in the underwear Olympics. Obviously, the Teteroa McMillan's 2023 campaign was a lot better than last year when everybody was just keying in on him at Arizona. But yeah, very excited for Golden that he was rewarded to his really strong close to last season. I did write about on Friday for Inside Texas how Kelvin Banks seemingly falling down the draft boards is just truly inexplicable. I think it's a huge example of maybe a little bit of analysis by paralysis where teams have had too long to evaluate a prospect because Banks has started for the Longhorns for 3 years. So maybe they're picking too many nits. I don't know. But Banks, obviously, he has a litany of body bags from Will Anderson to Dallas Turner to Will McDonald. So many guys that he performed extremely admirably. I mean, so many OU players who are playing in the NFL. So how he's falling to the late first round is baffling to me. But at the same time, it might get Kelvin Banks on a true contender where he can be that bookend left tackle, maybe right tackle, but for a decade plus to come. Your Houston Texans, Joe, might end up getting Kelvin Banks late, which will be huge. So,
hey, I'm good on, I would love for that. And one thing that this helps with, I kind of mentioned the picture, the image of Bijan, of Byron shaking hands with Commissioner Goodell. Hopefully that happens for Matthew. If he elects to attend, he's invited. I don't know if that confirms he's going to attend, but why would you miss out on that? This is going to help prevent the lull from happening. And I remember whenever they started having these June official visits, and especially after years where Texas was very light in the draft, it really did not go well during those June visits when you've got other schools selling, we just put eight guys in draft, we just put this many in the first round, we just did this. And it would kill not Tom Herman for the most part, but also it hurt Steve Sarkisian in his first year or so. Now that lull is non-existent. I know Texas likes to take a patient approach with how they recruit. It's a marathon, not a sprint to them. But this is going to be an opportunity to maybe reverse the lull when you got 10 guys, 12 guys, 13, 14 guys going in the NFL draft, and maybe have a little bit of a surge from some guys who see players like Golden shaking hands with Commissioner Goodell, Banks, Barron going in the first round, stuff like that. So should be cool to see. Always, you know, you see childlike emotions for dreams coming true from a lot of these guys, and it'll be cool to see that from Golden. We'll shift real quick to the Texas basketball roster taking shape. At this point, Texas has, they have seven guys they know are coming back: Jordan Pope, Tremont Mark, Nick Cody, and Kendall Weaver. And then those are four returners. You have three people, three players who are going to be added: Camden Heidi from Purdue, Dalen Swain from Xavier. Oh, let me get my Lithuanian down. Matas Vokitaitis from FAU. Five guys who are likely to join the roster again next year: Jamie Vinson, Anton McDermott, Preston Clark, Malik Presley, and then John Clark. At this point, three scholarships, I believe, are open if they go to the full 15, as is projected whenever the House case makes its decision, it's finalized. But at this point, it looks like it's a roster taking shape. Sean Miller likes what he saw from some of the guys who are coming back. I like the idea of bringing Mark and Pope back, but they also are adding something that we haven't seen in a long time at Texas, in like a true big man, 7-footer, and Vokitaitis, who is going to be probably a little bit of a, and I say this in a good way, an anchor down low for Texas on both ends of the floor.
All I needed to see was that name, Joe, and I was excited. Just, you know, he could be from Mobile, Alabama, and it's, you know, four generations ago. His great grandparents were from Lithuania, but I saw that name, and as a Spurs fan, you know, I felt comforted. So the Europe has obviously done really well to my Spurs. So I'm excited for what Sean Miller is gonna bring. I'm excited for exciting offense. But yeah, we've really felt like, you know, Jordan Pope coming off of Oregon State was very underutilized last year. Tremont Mark, you know, really ran the offense a lot better at the end of the season. So them coming back is huge. And then I think obviously a huge part of maybe why Rodney Terry's team fell short last year is you didn't have that connector, that energy guy in Kendall Weaver. So that was the biggest addition or retention to me, was the fact that he was coming back. So super excited to have Kendall Weaver back, and really, you know, I'm pumped to see what he's going to look like in a true offense, and, you know, how he can be a cutter and connector on the floor for Sean Miller.
It looks like at this point they still do need a point guard. I think one name to track actually comes from the high school ranks, and that's Nick Lewis from Gonzaga College in Washington, D.C. He was a Xavier signee, but when Sean Miller left, got out of his letter of intent. Texas is involved. VCU, Iowa, Vanderbilt, Indiana, and Seton Hall also are. They're going to be involved with a lot of different guys out of the portal. Point guards are tough to come by out of the portal because the good ones are all highly valuable in the college game. But that's something to track. We'll be tracking that. Me and Keenan Womack will be over on Inside Texas having the latest on all the different portal recruitments. Before we keep going, one more word from our sponsor, and that is Laura Baker.
Hi, I want to tell you about Laura Baker. If you're looking for a new home in the 512 or even at this point, let's face it, 737 area code, there's only one number to call. That's Laura Baker at 512-784-0505. As a member of the elite Andy Allen team with Keller Williams, Laura has helped Longhorns find the home of their dreams in Central Texas. Just ask our resident sex symbol, Ian Boyd, who moved all the way from Michigan to Texas with Laura's help. Laura can help you find what you're looking for in the 512, the 737, or even parts of the 254 and the 210. Just, you know, give her a call at 512-784-0505. Her email is in the description as well as the rest of her contact details. She's a friend. Give her a call.
And I just made sure Dane Brugler over at The Athletic said that Golden accepted his invite, so he will be there. Last but not least, Schadenfreude of the week. And I think, you know, I mentioned at the top of the video, we usually poke fun at rivals, but we also poke fun at teams that basically only their fans root for. And on Saturday night, man, there was a team that blew it and the rest of the country was pretty happy to see it.
Yeah, I don't know if you watched the White Lotus, Joe, but there was a very popular meme that was given a lot of validity of a Duke fan played by Jason Isaacs putting a gun to his head. And yeah, that after a Saturday night and then the White Lotus finale being last night, that's going to live in infamy on Twitter, obviously. Maybe not infamy for Duke haters. Man, I was disappointed. I was kind of, in a way, rooting for Duke because I was like, come on, Cooper Flagg, let's make a big shot here in San Antonio where you're going to be starring next to Victor Wembanyama for the next, you know, 18 years. So I was a little disappointed, but obviously I do like this iteration of Duke maybe a little bit better than I liked the Duke of my youth, you know, the J.J. Redick years and guys before that. Really hated those teams, but it's still, you know, always fun to see Duke lose. They don't do it obviously very often. They have a much more successful basketball program than we do here in Austin, but hey, that was fun. And how about our Big 12 Houston Cougars? You know, we got to wave the Big 12 flag. So Texas, obviously Texas fans are winners either way because it's the Big 12 or the SEC taking it home tonight. Not really. I don't care about conference flag waving.
It's funny because maybe there's some self-schadenfreude here. Man, a team wearing black can beat Duke? Who would have thought? I have a second place. I have a second place. And this one, I think we can actually poke fun at our rivals a little bit. We've talked about Texas A&M baseball on here a bunch. Can't really do it this week. They went to Tennessee and took 2-3 from the Vols. Do you know
after being Texas Tech is
9-19 and 5-7 in conference in baseball right now? And this is a program that won several Big 12 titles, made several College World Series over the past couple of years. I know that Texas Tech is throwing money around, not just in basketball, but in football and maybe even softball as well. It doesn't seem to be coming into much effect in baseball with Tim Tadlock's program, 9-19 and 5-7 in the Big 12. So tough times in Lubbock. And hey, one of those 19 losses was to the Texas Longhorns, 10-5. So schadenfreude all over the country. Thank you for watching this reheat. And RT, there's something that you are going to be doing this weekend if you want to tell the people about it here in Austin.
Yeah, I have a book that's come out, the Longhorn Alphabet, Texas Football A to Z, a perfect book for Longhorn families to bond over Longhorn football, start making memories over. We are having a book release party at the Cisco's Muni Cafe at Lions Golf Course this Sunday. Come hang out, be family friendly, have some appetizers, watch a little bit of the Masters, let the kids run around. Get a signed book. Maybe there will be a surprise appearance from a former Longhorn. So we'll see.
Hey, as long as the Migas are rolling, I will be there. So thank you for watching. Of course, if you're here, make sure you like this video and subscribe to the channel. We'll be bringing it all week as the Longhorns get back to practice. And if you have not done so yet, head to InsideTexas.com. $1 for just 4 months, recruiting intel, a bunch of different team info, draft analysis, basketball portal, baseball coverage, recruiting visit season, everything. You're not going to want to miss out. So head to InsideTexas.com, join and get 4 months for just $1. RT, thank you. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com.